From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Thankfully, C4 Energy has reinvented the energy drink game with C4 Smart Energy, the only energy drink clinically proven to provide enhanced mental focus. C4 Smart Energy is formulated with 200 milligrams of natural caffeine from green coffee beans, plus potassium, niacin, and vitamin B12 to support well-being and help you feel your best, all while promoting fat burn and boosting metabolism. So I have recently tried C4 Smart Energy, and let me tell you, it is giving me a boost. That caffeine is hitting because I have a very short attention span. I get distracted so easily, and I tried it and I was like, yeah, this is a boost, all right. I love that. Look for Smart Energy every day in the beverage aisle at your local Costco. Go grab a can and share on social media tagging at C4 Energy and the It's Me Tinks podcast to show us how Smart Energy helps you stay focused wherever you are. C4 Smart Energy. Stay focused. Have you heard about Roback Activewear? Well, let me introduce you. You may have seen that subtle dog logo on your man's polos, hoodies, or Q-zips, but now Roback is growing their women's line. They strive for the best fit and best feel. I am so glad that Roback is now doing women's wear as well, because they really have it down when it comes to super soft athletic wear that is just the cutest ever and so, so, so comfortable. You know me, I'm all about comfort. I'm all about feeling cozy while on the go, and I am always on the go. So go Roback. We love that you're in women's wear now. It's 2024, the spring's coming, and ladies, it's time to check out Roback for yourself. So use the code TINKS on Roback.com for a generous 20% off your first order for all hoodies, joggers, skorts, and more. That's spelled ROBACK.com. That's 20% off with the code TINKS. Hi guys, welcome back to It's Me Tinks. Happy Friday. Oh my gosh, I feel like the holiday season is now in full swing. It's raging, honestly. It's absolutely raging. I am recording this in New York, just got back from London, and I've been having the most blissful couple of hibernation days. I know you guys really like it when I'm like chilling by myself watching TV. It's truly all of your guys' favorite time when I'm just chilling by myself. And I gotta say, it's some of my favorite time too. And it is insane what 3 days alone can do for you. And I don't want to talk too much about this. This is actually the topic of Monday's podcast. I want to actually do a whole episode on how to have fun alone, the importance of being alone, and why I love it so much. So I don't want to go too much into it, but I will say that post Thanksgiving craziness, it's always a big week of eating and drinking and partying and staying out late and not sleeping and whatever. I can't remember which therapist taught me this, but she said, whenever you're having, you know, one of those moments where you're like, I am pie, I have become pie, and I'm just, you know, one with it. She said, or whatever, you know, you've been drinking a lot, drinking champagne every day, what have you, a lot of wine. She said it only takes 3 days to feel back in control. And Banana Brigade, I don't want to hear it. This isn't really like a big body image moment. This is just a moment for every single person out there who has overindulged in the past week and had fun. And that's great. See the body image holiday episode. But if you're like, if you are back to work this week and feeling just like out of control and just like, bleh, I promise you, it only takes 3 days to feel back in control. And by that, I mean cooking food that makes you feel good, going to bed early. For the past 3 nights, I've gone to bed at 9 o'clock, woke up every morning, rich mom walked every morning, drunk my water, you know, get my steps in, all that good stuff. In 3 days, you feel back in control. And I do promise you that. So I can talk more about that. But for me personally, I was drinking a lot in London. I was eating pie. I was having fun, as we should, right? As we absolutely should. But if you're feeling like, holy moly, I need to get the reins on again, it's 3 days. It's literally just carving out 3 days for yourself and you feel a lot better. Okay, I want to talk about Balenciaga. I gotta say, I'm really suspicious for some reason, I just cannot believe that they would let that, that there would be that many mistakes. How could that happen? I'm sorry. I just don't believe that a company of that size or a brand, I'm sorry, a brand of that size with that many people working on it, with that many meetings. I mean, you think about the detail that goes into a bag or an outfit or whatever. You're telling me that that just slipped through the cracks, that that egregious creative somehow slid through. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, you guys, but part of me, it reminds me almost of like Kanye, where it's like just when you think it can't get any worse, it does. And I don't know. I just want to put the question out there. Like, are they, is it, did they think, ooh, this is controversial. This is bad. Maybe if we do this, people will talk about us. Not that they needed any more press. I mean, they were already like, you know, such a famous brand, you know, with all these celebrities wearing them, whatever. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I understand. Are they really trying to say it was just a mistake or that it kind of, it seems like they're playing hot potato with the blame, right? They're like, oh, it was a photographer. Oh, it was, you know, this person. Oh, I'm sorry. It was no one person. That much I know. That much I know. It was no one person saying like, yeah, this is, they're not going to be able to pin this on one person. I really wonder what this means for the brand. I got to be honest, when I saw the first images with the kids, I have no idea why I thought this. I thought it was Photoshopped. I thought, well, there's no way that they would actually have kids doing that, so, or holding those, you know, whatever toys. I thought it was Photoshopped. I thought it was some sort of, you know, because they do push the boundaries. I mean, I don't know if you remember their show, the last one they did was like there was mud and they were, you know, all this commentary on, they go deep, right? They go deep with the commentary. And I thought maybe it's Photoshop, maybe I don't get it because, you know, I don't know, maybe I just don't get it. But then I found out that no, it was real. I'll say this, I think it's very wrong to blame the parents. I do. I'm going to go ahead and say that. That's my opinion. I'm not a parent, but I would bet that the parents didn't really know what was going on. I mean, I'm sure that they were like, hey, do you want your kid to be in like this fashion campaign? That's, you know, I can see how that would, I can see how that part of the equation would kind of, you know, get screwed up. Like I can see them being like, hey, do you want your kids to be in this, you know, massive fashion campaign? They're going to hold these like kind of weird teddies, blah, 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 blah. Like I can see how that, you know, got confused. I can. I mean, again, I have no idea. I'm just speculating what went beyond. But, you know, people are just so quick to attack and there's so much parent shaming. And the truth is, no parent would ever knowingly put their kid in harm's way. I'm sorry. So that's just my two cents. I'll be very interested to see what happens in the future. Now that you know how I feel about it, I want to talk about the obsession, or no, it's not obsession, it's a fixation with having people in the public eye comment on things. So the Balenciaga thing happened. I was traveling. I was like, okay, just trying to learn more about the story. You know, I think we're very quick, knee jerk, you know, comment, oh, put up this thing, put up an infographic. And you guys know how I feel about this. I've spoken about it before. I think that the trigger pulling, the trigger happiness of, you know, posting shit on Instagram is insane. And I started getting these messages. How dare you not address Balenciaga? Address Balenciaga or I'm unfollowing you. I'm sorry. I've never worn a Balenciaga dress in my life. And even if I had, I'm not the spokesperson. Even if Balenciaga was my favorite brand, maybe I need a second to digest. I think it is symptomatic of the idiotic, I said idiotic, time that we're living in where it's just about virtue signaling. If you're my follower and you need me to come out and openly and come out and specifically say, I think that those ads were atrocious and I'm against what they stand for, then you're not my follower at all. Then you don't know me at all. And that's absurd. And we have to examine what role influencers play in the news. Now, do I comment on pop culture? Yes. Is, you know, was it expected that I'd probably weigh in eventually? Sure. But to comment, I had this one troll, and I hate to even give them light, but she, I know it was a girl. I'm sorry. I just, from the way it was written, I know. She was tagging my mom. Like, how could Tinks not comment on the Balenciaga thing? How dare she not comment on it? Tagging my friends from home, tagging my boyfriend, sending me horrific messages. And my last straw was when I was posting about the horrific murders from the shooting that happened. And the person messaged me and said, another post about the shooting. And yet you haven't commented on Balenciaga. And then you don't want to know what they said. So I guess you approve of child pornography. Whacked. Whack job. Okay. And this person took 20 minutes to make a fake Instagram account to do all this shit. First of all, my platform is my platform. And if that's difficult for you to understand, I'm sorry. You must not be very smart. Second of all, how dare you compare the murder of 5 people to anything? It's a tragedy, and it doesn't compare to anything. And we needed to take that moment to really look at our country and think about what's going on. And thirdly, the fact that what bothers me the most, I think, is that I know in some sick way that creepy little troll thinks that they're helping. Helping what? I have no idea, but I know that they think that they're helping. Why? What the hell? I really don't understand. Now, I'm always open to criticism and feedback, and I'm interested to know what is it you got? Like, what do you need me to comment on every issue to know where I stand? Because I would hope that you would know where I stand on something like the Balenciaga issue. I've seen a lot of TikTok saying, oh, you know, celebrities aren't coming out and going against them, and you know, they don't want to be shunned from the fashion world. It's not for me that at all. It's, and I'm not a celebrity, obviously, but it's not that, oh, I'm worried that they're going to blacklist me. I was never going to be invited to one of their shows anyway. For me, it was like, okay, I'm just reading all this information. I'm just taking a beat to absorb all of this and understand what happened in this story before I make a comment on it. So much virtue signaling happens online, and I really try to rage against just immediately saying something to say something. Like, you guys again know how I feel about that. It's just like shooting stuff off into the ether without any thought. On that note, if you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can design, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire wedding process with their free planning tools. I have 3 really good friends getting married this year, and they're all using Zola. And I know because they were telling me about how easy it is, and it's just truly a one-stop shop. And you know this girl loves efficiency, right? So my friends were telling me you can do it all in one place. What a relief, right? And I know about Zola because I've bought so many gifts on registries via Zola. And I just love how easy it is to send gifts, keep everything organized. Everything is like done for you. And we absolutely love that. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. All the must-have styles that pair with everything this spring. DSW has all the must-have styles, from fun, colorful sandals to sporty soles and cool fashion sneakers. All the latest styles, fun colors, and best brands at great prices. Okay, you guys, it is officially spring. Thank goodness. I've been so excited to get out of the colder weather, and I'm excited to start wearing more spring forward looks. Okay. I am excited to show my toes again. They've been in hiding, right? I got a pedicure and I am ready for open toed shoes. I'm ready to do like a little jean with a wedge. I am ready to do some beautiful strappy sandals at the upcoming weddings that I have. I am just so excited for all of the opportunities to wear cute shoes, and DSW has so many options, and I will be needing quite a few pairs, so it's time to shop. Explore the latest spring styles at your nearest DSW store or online at dsw.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery gets drained so easily. You guys know I am a sensitive Virgo woman, okay? I need that time to rest and relax. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. You guys know that therapy is everything to me. I have it every single week because my therapist helps me learn my boundaries. She is the one who says, whoa, I don't think you should go to that. You are really tired. You're really stressed right now. That is going to drain you. And it's just so helpful to have a trained professional who can help you realize those boundaries. You know, I'm obsessed with boundaries, guys. So give therapy a try because it can be so useful. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tinks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tinks. To know me is to know that I am obsessed with spicy margaritas. Love tequila cocktails? Then check out the award-winning 21 Seeds infused tequila. It's a one-of-a-kind tequila infused with the juice of real fruit. 21 Seeds is smooth, not sweet. It smells fresh and bright and tastes incredible. Try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Learn more at 21seeds.com. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York. This Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. I am obsessed with Osea because it is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate neutral certified. And I just know I can feel very safe using everything. My mom loves it too. I always gift her Osea because I know she's obsessed with it. She is a big fan of the body oil. She just loves how soft it makes her skin feel. It is the best. The Undaria Algae Body Oil is seriously one of a kind. Like I said, that's my mom's favorite. It's rich yet never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It leaves skin silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code TINKS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code TINKS for 10% off. I wanted to do a sharp left turn, sharp, and talk about my second favorite holiday movie and all the things that it, all the issues and good and bad things that it brings up, The Family Stone. And I think the reason that I love this movie so much is because it does what, for example, White Lotus does, where it has this uncanny ability to create tension in very simple settings and simple situations. I think that I love this movie because it's a Christmas movie, obviously. I think I love a lot of the actors and actresses in it. I think that it really was like the family that I wanted. I know that sounds kind of bad, but when I remember first watching it, I was like, that's totally what I wish my family was. And the truth is, there are very few families that are like this, and every family has its trials and tribulations, but that was definitely part of it for me. I think it has really interesting themes of like opposites attract, of bringing your boyfriend or girlfriend or significant other home for the first time, which is so interesting and something that's very stressful for some people, including me. I think it has to do a lot with like family embarrassment, which is, again, something that I've, you know, kind of had an interesting relationship with and whatever. And I just love it. It's also very funny. There will be spoilers. So if you haven't watched it, please go watch it. I mean, there's really nothing to spoil. It's really more one of those movies that's about the experience than like the end result. There's no twists and turns. I guess there are, but I want to go through it and talk about it. The Family Stone. Okay, so first of all, Diane Keaton. I mean, the cast is all-star. The cast is all-star hits. It's amazing. And Diane Keaton she kind of looks like my mom. I think that's why they have like some of the similar mannerisms, which is, I think, why it tugs on my heartstrings so much. It's just that, you know, very sweet suburban American town, and there's snow, and it just feels very traditional. And of course, we always want what we can't have, you know, I really, really craved that when I was younger. I was like, oh, everyone in America has like a perfect family and they live in a beautiful house and like they go home for the holidays and no one argues and blah, 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 blah. So the scene is set. And so they have five kids. They have Thad, who is deaf, and Thad's partner, Patrick. And this is so crazy. So I rewatched it this morning in preparation for this. And a big theme in the movie is Thad being gay and him and Patrick being a couple and they're trying to adopt a child and how difficult it was. And I think they make a point of showing how accepting the family is. And I was like, it is so insane that that was such a that needed to be so overt. And then I looked up when it was made. It was made in 2005. And then I was like, just for shits and gigs, like, when was gay marriage legalized in New York State? And it was 2011. Insane. Insane. We forget that in our lifetime. I mean, it just made me so emotional when I was watching it this morning. And it was just like, it's really insane to think. But that's relevant for a little point in the movie later. Then Rachel McAdams. Okay, call me crazy. I think this is Rachel McAdams' like best role. Like, it's her most different role. You know, she always kind of plays, not always, but she has similar characters. And this is just such a fun role for her. Her name is Amy, and she's kind of like the bitchy sister. And she, you know, no one is ever good enough for her brothers. And she's just, it's like a fun character. So Meredith is played by Sarah Jessica Parker. And it's also fun because I feel like SJP quite often plays a similar character. She kind of plays Carrie, but this role is like, she's uppity, she's uptight, she's very career driven. She's kind of anal, you know, let's just say it, she's anal. And she's coming home to meet Everett's family. Oh, and then they have like the other sister, Susanna, who's pregnant, and she's a mom and she's kind of like the nice one. And she doesn't really have a plot line apart from like that her husband never shows up, and it's kind of insinuated that maybe she's having like issues with her husband or whatever. So they're coming back, and like automatically, you know, it's just going to be a clash because the family is so warm and they're all wearing like mismatched plaid and like oversized t-shirts and they love each other so much. And then Meredith, we're introduced to her, and she's like anal and, you know, wearing all these tight, you know, suits and is very angular and has this weird throat clearing thing, which you automatically know is going to annoy everybody. And it's awkward, right? It's awkward going home to meet your significant other's family for the first time, especially at Christmas, especially at a time which is ripe with tradition and people, you know, have all their little things and it's the end of the year and it's a special time. And it's very like sensitive for people. So she comes back to the house and they're all like, we're going to hate her. Amy's like, you're going to hate her. You're going to hate her. And she's so awkward. And that's been all of us, right? We've all been the awkward person meeting our boyfriend or girlfriend's family for the first time. I don't know why it's so awkward. I think people feel varying degrees of awkwardness. I think when I was younger, I felt like extreme anxiety about introducing boyfriends to my family and extreme anxiety about meeting boyfriends, parents, or families. But it's because when you're younger, you still want that validation from parents. And it doesn't go away ever. I was so funny. I was literally just on the phone with my therapist recapping London. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm always going to want my parents' approval. So I don't think it goes away, but I think that when you grow up, you're just less worried about it. But of course you want them to like you. And of course you want their approval because it's, to varying degrees, they do have an influence on your significant other. So then they don't seem that in love. That's a note that I have in my phone, is Everett and Meredith, like, they really don't seem like they love each other. They seem like a good pairing. You know, they tell the story of how they met. They met in Hong Kong in business, and they seem like a good pairing, but they don't seem like they're that in love, which is interesting. And I think when I watch it through the lens of my 32-year-old self, their relationship is like quite similar to a lot of people that I know now, where it's like they don't really seem goo goo gaga for each other. They just seem like a good pair. Like they seem like two socks that match each other, but they're not like madly in love. And that's interesting. And then you meet Luke Wilson, and Luke Wilson plays Ben, who's kind of like the pothead brother who, you know, he's kind of silly and everyone's favorite. And he meets Sarah Jessica Parker, and they like, you can feel the spark. Like there's some spark. And here you're kind of introduced to a main theme in the movie, which is like opposites attract, right? Because Everett and Meredith, I think his name is like Dermot Mulroney, who plays Everett. He's fantastic. He's like such good rom-com fodder. It's amazing. He and Meredith are so, they're the same. And we'll talk about that at the end. But, you know, on the outside, again, they're like two socks that match each other. I have it in a note in here. SJP is just so anal, but she also tries too hard. Yeah. So that's a very interesting thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about is like, I think especially in a family that has a lot of siblings, you have to strike the right balance. If you're going home to meet your SO's family, you have to strike the right balance of like wanting to impress them, but not trying too hard. Because I think a main downfall for people when they go home to meet the family is like they try too hard, and then people like the sister, like they can smell it. And I would be fucking lying through my teeth if I said that I didn't have a teeny bit of Amy in me. I have a brother. And I think obviously every sister wants the best for their brother, but it's like, you know, another girl is coming around. I like to think that I'm very nice. I'm super close with my brother's ex now, I guess, but whatever. And all of his girlfriends I've been nice to, but like you want them to try, but not try too hard. Like you want them to have self-respect. And in it, Meredith's SJP, like she doesn't have self-respect. And she does have self-respect, but like she just tries so fucking hard. Like literally trying so hard and is so anal. Like there's a part when like the little girl, like the niece or the granddaughter is like playing with her shoes and the heel breaks and she just like looks so upset. And it's like any person would just be like, oh, don't worry about it. Like it's just a shoe. Like who fucking cares? And she just like looks like she's gonna cry. Like she's a very fragile baby bird, and the family just can smell blood, and they from the get-go just give her the hardest time. Okay, so the tension is mounting, and the family are being so rude, and the parents kind of like, she decides to move to the inn and not stay in the house. Oh, because this is the other good part is SJP's character is like, well, it's wrong for me to sleep in the same bed as you, Everett, in your parents' house. And that's just so, it's such a good little detail, because you can totally see the mental gymnastics that a woman would get herself to, being like, well, I don't want your parents to think that we're fucking, so like I'm going to be really respectful. But in doing so, she's causing a bigger issue, because that means that another room is taken up and like whatever. And she's just trying to be so like chaste, or I don't know what, virginal. But it's like, and then Diane Keaton, the mom, is like, you guys don't screw. And they look like they're, I don't know, 35 at this point. So like, obviously they're fucking, like, what's the big deal? But it's just so funny that the things that we think in our head that parents would still care about. And I think that that brings it back to what I was saying at the beginning, like you want the parents' approval. And even though you might be like 35, you're like, ooh, like can't let them know we're doing the deed or whatever. So anyway, she ends up moving to the inn. The parents call a meeting and they're like, you guys stop fucking with her. We got to try harder, whatever. And then the Diane Keaton is like, she's going to ask me for the ring. He's going to ask me for the ring. He's going to ask her to marry her. And then they all start talking as a family, like, do they love each other? And like, they just clearly don't. And there's a really funny moment where SJP is trying to cook some dish for the family to try and like make an olive branch, or, you know, bring some of her family tradition into their life. And they're all like looking at her and they're like, are those mushrooms? And then she's like, yeah. And they're like, isn't Everett allergic to mushroom? And she's like, I didn't know. And it's like, imagine being almost being engaged to someone and not knowing they were allergic to mushrooms. Like, that's insane to me. Like, I literally, that's, so there you go. They're not in love. They're just a good pairing. And again, it just, it made me sad because I was like, you know, if this was another movie, if this was an offshoot about Everett and Meredith and their relationship, how I would psychoanalyze it is like, they're 35, they work a lot. They just want to like get married and like try to push it through. Wrong. If only Meredith had had my podcast, she would know her self-worth and not settle for a guy just because he was good on paper. Because she reverse box theoried the shit out of Everett. That's that I know. So then she calls her sister, Julie, played by Claire Danes. Love Claire Danes. And it's so funny because I feel like Claire Danes plays, I think, by the way, Claire Danes is such an amazing actress. When you think about all her roles, she's always different. She's always fucking killing it. Actually, she's in this new show, Fleischman. I think it's called Fleischman is in Trouble. I'm dying to watch it. It looks really good. But you think about Homeland, you think about Little Women, you think about Romeo and Juliet. I fucking stan Claire Danes. And I love how like chic she is. Like, I have no fucking idea where she lives. I have no idea about, I think she's married to that hot guy, Hugh Dancy. That could be a lie. I don't know. But anyway, I love that I don't know anything about her and that she's like one of those chic, a true actor, not like a celebrity. You know what I mean? Look at me being a little elitist bitch, loving my actors and actresses. The thing is, I like my actors and actresses to be like Julianne Moore. Fucking cool, fucking chic, fucking amazing at acting. No idea where she lives, never seen a paparazzi picture of her. Love that for her, because then I can imagine her better in the roles. You know, with movie stars, quote, quote, like celebs, I see them and I'm like, oh, I saw you, a paparazzi picture of you at Ralph's, you know, drinking Starbucks with your dog the other day. You know what I mean? And that's unfair of me, but hey, life is unfair. So Julie arrives and Julie and Everett have instant bajiggity. So now you've got the two brothers crossing wires and they kind of each have a spark with the other sister, and that's, you know, whatever. So, and everyone loves Julie. So Claire Danes comes in and for some reason, the family's like obsessed with her. They think she's so great and whatever. They just have a bias because they don't want, no one is good enough for their perfect Everett. Okay. Then comes the most insane scene. This scene I think about once a week. It's the scene at dinner. So they're there and Thad and Patrick are talking about adopting a baby and they're not married because it wasn't legal then. So they're like partners and, you know, they're talking about the baby and Julie asks, like, do you care what race the baby is? Because Patrick is black and Meredith is like, Julie, oh my God. And she's like, what? I just wanted to ask, and it's such a perfect example of like what white people think racism is, right? Like they think that that's racist, but like, no, it's not. It's just, it's not bad to say. It's not wrong to ask. And it's so funny because it's just such a perfect, like thinking that it's a microaggression and she's just asking. So they're like, no, it's okay. You can ask us. They're like, we don't care as long as the baby's healthy. We're so excited to adopt. And she's like, oh, that's so nice. Whatever. And then they get into talking about like being gay. And Diane Keaton is like, oh, I wish that all my kids were gay. And Sarah Jessica Parker is like, you don't really wish that, did you? You didn't really wish that. And they kind of continue to make jokes and they're like, no, she's like, no, I really did, like, whatever. And she's like, oh, I just feel like life is hard enough. And they're like, wait, what do you mean? And she's like, I just mean that life is hard enough. Why would you want to add that to, you know, why would you wish that upon a child? Meaning, why would you make life harder? And it's like, it's such, oh God, you can't even breathe during the scene because it's so tense. And it's like, you're so upset because you kind of know deep down that Sarah Jessica Parker's character doesn't mean it like it sounds, but also that it's this extremely sensitive topic for this family because their gay brother and son, you know, also happens to be deaf. His life also, he also happens to have this other aspect of his life that makes it slightly more challenging. And oh God, it's just heartbreaking, because then he's like, I don't understand. Like, I don't hear what you're saying, because she's not signing the sign language. And the family's like on pins and needles already. They're like ready to pounce on her. And then this is the crazy part, which I kind of forgot that she said this. She's like, are you guys worried about nature versus nurture with the baby? And they're like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, you know, I know that they've kind of isolated a gene, but, you know, there's no definitive research either way about whether being around gay people makes you gay, which is insane that in 2005 they said that in a movie. But you guys, that's what people used to think. Like, people used to literally, I mean, what am I talking about? I'm sorry, that was wrong of me. There are still people out there who are wrong and misinformed and honestly crazy, who think that it's like nature versus nurture. Are you kidding me? And then that's when the family like kicks off and they're like shut the fuck up, like enough, like that's crazy. Everybody here believes that you are born gay, like are you joking? And oh my God, it's just like the most intense scene, because it's God. And Diane Keaton, I'm going to cry. Diane Keaton like throws a fork at Thad because he's not looking at her. And she's like, hey, you're perfect. Like you're perfect to me. Like I want you to know that. And the dad gets so upset, and it's just like, it's a very emotional. And oh my God, it's just crazy to think, you guys, that is so many. It's a very emotional scene. And she, like, Meredith's character goes running off and she's like, that's not what I meant. You know, you misunderstood me. Like, I really didn't come from a bad place. And I think in that moment, like, everybody, let me put it this way. Everybody has been misunderstood at one point or another in their life. And I think that the reason the movie is so, like, you can't take your eyes off it is because it's everyone's worst fear to go into their significant other's home, which is very tight knit, and be misunderstood and offend. You know, I think that's like such a nightmare. So then they're like, okay, maybe like we yelled at her too much. Like maybe we kind of like whatever. So she runs off, and Luke Wilson, Ben, is like, let's go to a bar and get drunk, basically. And then Everett, her soon-to-be fiance, and her sister Julie are like, let's go find her because she runs off, whatever. So Everett and Julie have this night where they're like looking for her, and they're totally hitting it off. Like they have this crazy spark. And at the same time, Meredith and Ben are at the bar getting wasted. And she's like, I didn't mean that. Like, I'm fun. Like, you guys have the wrong end of the stick with me. Like, you're just all so like intense and whatever. So it's really at this point very like opposites attract-y. And by the way, Diane Keaton won't give Everett the ring, because she's like, I don't think that you're in love. And then she does in the end, whatever. And also throughout, like at some point, you find out that Diane Keaton is sick, which is like why there's all of a sudden, you understand why the kids of the family are so, it's so like heightened, and everyone's taking everything so much more seriously. And there's a really nice moment where the Diane Keaton and her husband, I think his name is Kelly in the movie, like they kind of lay down and he like puts her hand on her and they have like an intimate moment. And I thought that was so nice, because you don't really see like old people have intimate moments on movie or TV that much. So anyway, speeding up at the end, it's the big morning. Sarah Jessica Parker blacks out and thinks that she fucked Luke Wilson, but she didn't. And Everett is madly in love with Julie all of a sudden. And it's like this big tension relief in the morning when Sarah Jessica Parker gives all the kids this framed black and white photo of Diane Keaton when she's pregnant with one of the kids. And like, they're all crying and they're like, wow, you like really saw our family. Like, this is such a beautiful gift. Kind of like all is forgiven moment. And then it comes out that Luke Wilson and Sarah Jessica Parker spent the night together, even though they didn't shag. And it's just kind of like this comic relief moment. And then it's like a 1 year later thing. And you realize that the brothers have swapped, and they're, which like is not realistic. Like, that's the only annoying thing, is like, that's not realistic. I wish that they had done her friend instead of her sister, because I don't think that you could, in good faith, go and fuck and marry someone who your sister dated for a solid year and thought that they were going to get engaged to. And I don't think that then Sarah Jessica Parker would be able to fuck and marry the brother of a guy she dated for a year. Like, I don't think that that's realistic, which is a bummer because the rest of the movie is so unbelievably, it feels so real and like earthy and like in this world. So I don't know. And then of course you see the framed picture of Diane Keaton and it's kind of like understood that she maybe passed away and it's like so much crying, so upsetting. And they have Thad and Patrick have the baby and it's kind of like, you know, the circle of life and whatever. So interesting. Such an amazing movie. Always makes me feel the full spectrum of emotions, truly like every single emotion. Such a wild time capsule. So fascinating. Okay, lovelies, I will be seeing you on Monday for an important episode about how to have fun alone. I hope you have a fantastic weekend full of fun holiday things and goodness. If you like this episode, share it with a friend. It would mean the world to me. I'll see you on Monday. Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.